Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of John chapter 6 as we continue our sermons through the book of John. John chapter 6, if you would, John chapter 6, beginning at verse 25, shall we stand together? John chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. If you're unable to stand due to health concerns, please do not feel like you have to. But verse 25, and when they had found him on the other side of the sea, that being Jesus, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that we find here in the Word of God, and we look forward to some of the others that we'll be reading shortly. We ask, Lord, that you would bless this next few minutes. May the Spirit move. May hearts be touched. May souls be saved. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Thank you much. We'll continue reading at verse 30. And if you closed your Bible, it's still John chapter 6. John 6, now beginning at verse 30. They said, therefore, unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, forevermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the great miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 men. And after the meal, we read in John 6:15 that Jesus perceived that they were going to try to make him a king by force if necessary. Thus, he constrained the disciples to get in a ship as he sent the multitudes away. And then he went up into a mountain to pray. Last week, we looked at the story of the disciples in the midst of the sea, struggling as they were being tossed by the strong winds. And as they struggled, Jesus came walking on the water, and then once he entered into the ship, he calmed the sea. The next morning, the people, knowing that Jesus had not gotten into a ship, wondered how he was now in Capernaum. Jesus, of course, does not answer their question, but declares that they are not seeking him because of the miracles accomplished, but for the food that they ate. May I say this, we all enjoy a good meal. And I think that when he gave the fish and he gave the bread that was brought by the young lad and he then multiplied it, that it was the best bread they had ever tasted. And I think it was the best fish they had ever tasted, and they wanted more of it. And now here in this conversation about manna and bread, There is the declaration of Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. And we'll talk about that I am in just a moment. But John has but seven of the miracles that Jesus performed. And that he would write later that if all the miracles were written that he performed, that he didn't know if the world could contain them all. So he obviously performed hundreds and thousands of miracles, but he only records seven, and these seven prove the deity of Jesus Christ. He changed the water to wine. He healed the official son in Capernaum. We know that he healed the invalid at the pool of Bethesda. He fed the 5,000 men. He walked on the water. He healed the blind man in Jerusalem. And then there would be the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And you that have been in church for any length of time know about the seven I am statements that are declaring his deity that are found in the book of John. Would you please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Exodus chapter 3. We will be quickly back to John, but right now, Exodus chapter 3, Jesus would say again and again, I am. And when he did it, he infuriated the Pharisees. He infuriated the religious leaders because he was saying that I am God. And they wanted to stone him because of that. Now, may I say that when Jesus says, I am God, you have to decide, is he a lunatic? Because there are a lot of people in asylums that say they are God or they are Jesus, and we know that they're crazy. That if he is not a lunatic, then he is a liar. Or you have to believe that Jesus truly is God. And you have to make that decision. But in the book of Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And verse 14, And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. I am. God said, I am. I am the great exalted one. I am the one that needs nothing else, for I am all things. So here, if you would, back to the book of John, chapter 6, the first of the I ams. There's the I am of the bread of life. There is the I am, the light of the world. I am the door for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the last one, number 7, I am the true vine. He was declaring to those people, I am God. He was not a created being like some religions like to say that he is the brother of Lucifer. Jesus is not the product of God the Father and Mary. We find that he is a God and that he has always been. So number 1, I am the bread of life. We read it there in John 6:35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. I don't know about you, but I like good bread. Well, one of you does. Maybe that caught you off guard. Maybe you're pondering. Maybe you've been to some place in the area that has good bread. I like good bread. How about you? Good. I'm glad that I'm not the only one. Matthew 4:4 says, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There is physical bread and there is spiritual bread. But by every word, John 1:1 says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word, and we are to consume the Word of God. It is to be part of our life. It's to be part of our diet. I believe one of the issues in American churches today is that so many of the people who attend are anemic. They're on a diet. And they've stopped reading the Word of God. Where we need to read the Word of God. Our salvation depends fully and completely upon Jesus, the bread of life. Number two, he said, I am the light of the world, if you would, John chapter 8 and verse 12. John chapter 8. He is the light of the world. We live in a dark and sinful world, and we need a light. And it says in verse 12, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In Genesis chapter 1, and yes, I believe that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Genesis 1, verses 3 and 4, and God said, let there be what? What was the first thing created? Light. Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. Our society today is trying to put out the light. Isaiah 50, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness. And that's the society we live in today. Put out the light. We don't want the light. See, the light reveals decay. The light reveals disease. The light reveals dirt and debris. Need I go on? Saw this on a sign on a recent trip to Twin Falls at the Rock Island State Park in Tennessee. Now, if you've never been to the Rock Island State Park, you need to go. But I saw this sign nailed on a tree. Now remember, we're talking about light and light revealing trash. This sign said, only trash litters. You can write that down. Only trash litters. We live in a trashy world. We live in a world that has decided that morals don't matter anymore, that lewdness is only in your mind, that whatever you want to do, you can do. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said that we are not to light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. For it giveth light unto all in the house. We are to be reflecting the light of our Lord. He continues by saying, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are to reflect the light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, the churches are referred to as candlesticks. Now, what's a candlestick supposed to hold? Candles. And what are you supposed to do with the candles? You're to light them. Now, let me ask you this question. This is not to embarrass anybody. Please don't think I'm trying to embarrass you. But how many of you have in your house a candle that has been there for who knows how long that you have never lit? You have at least one candle in your house that you have never lit. Well, why do you have them there? They're decorations. Would you agree with that? Yes. Is the church to be a decoration? No. In the second book of Revelation, Jesus told the church at Ephesus, if you don't repent, if you don't get things right, I'm going to remove your candlestick. Let me ask you this. If a church's candlestick has been removed, of what value is that church? It's of no value. It has just become a decoration on the side of the road. And we have too many churches in America today that are nothing more than decorations. They look nice inside. They may have good music. They may have fine people singing, but they have forgotten that we are to reflect the light of God. And many people today don't even want to attend a church that says we need to be the lights of the world, reflecting God's love. We're not to be a decoration. We need to be usable. Usable. A number of years ago, some of you may remember the Smiths that came to our church, Bud and Fern Smith, and Bud was given upon a certain anniversary of his working for Chrysler a whole set of wrenches that were in color gold. I'm going to say they weren't solid gold. But if you were ever in his workshop, in his house, you saw all these wrenches on the wall that were gold in color. He didn't do any work in his workshop on cars. He did it out in the garage. What do you have out in the garage? He had the wrenches that he used. The other ones were hanging on a wall. We don't want to be hung on the wall. We want to be used. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. We as a church and we as the individual believers are to reflect the light of Christ's saving grace. Now, folks, we're supposed to get through all seven of the I Ams this morning. I'm on two and I have 10 minutes to go. Who's in favor of me going just until I'm done? I see five, six, be careful. The rest of them didn't raise their hands. Number three, I am the door. Do you like a door? Sure you do. How many of you locked your door when you left home today? Why'd you lock your door? It keeps out honest thieves, right? Because if someone wants in your house, they can what? Get in your house. How many times do you think the Covenant Baptist Church has been invaded by robbers? How many times do you think? 12 times. 12 times. Yeah. They came through one of these windows over here one time. There's got to be an easier way than to come through one of these windows. They had to get a ladder, break in. That's kind of dumb. They came in through windows downstairs. That's why we have glass block down there. But most of the time, they came in through a door. They worked their way into the building. They were thieves. But a door you put there to protect. If nothing else, it keeps the squirrels outside, right? Yes. The church has had two bats in it through the years. Two bats. We're not sure how they got in. They did. We've had a number of birds. We don't know how they got in. But the door, Jesus said, I am the door. How many of you remember the TV program? Do you want door number one, door number two, or door number three? Do you remember that? I remember seeing it once in a while if we were at somebody's house and it was on at the time. But door number one, which door should you pick? Door number one, door number two, or door number three? Well, we know there are many doors in life. If you would, take your Bibles and quickly turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. May I say, in life, there are two ways that we can go. There are two gates that we are to enter through. One gate is going to lead us to destruction. One gate is going to lead us to life everlasting. If you would, the book of Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Jesus is speaking. He says, enter ye in at the what? Straight gate. Then he says, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and what? Many there be which go in thereat. Many people are entering the broad gate. Why? Well, number one, it's the easiest one to get through. It's broad. You can get through it. Lots of people are going in that way. There's all kinds of decorations outside. It looks good. It looks nice. And so they're flooding through that gate. Verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And what? Few there be that find it. That door, above it, it says, whosoever will may come on the outside. And on the inside, it says, chosen from the foundations of the world. Have we entered in at the straight gate? Have we made that decision to go in the way that leads to life everlasting? Jesus said, I am the door. Jesus said, come in. Many doors in life. What door will you enter? If you would, the book of John chapter 10. John chapter 10. It says in verse 10, nope, I'm sorry, I got in the wrong place. Verse 7, John 10, verse 7, Jesus saith unto them, again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I'm the door. Up in verse 1, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. May I say this? There are those who try to tell you there are multiple ways into heaven. Does Jesus say that? Jesus said, I am the way. Driving down the road the other day behind a car, and there was a bumper sticker on it, and you probably know what I'm going to say. It said coexist. And they have all the symbols of different religious groups. Do you realize that when you say coexist, you are saying to these people, well, go ahead and worship any way you want to, but go on to hell, because that's what's going to happen. This week we had a couple of special athletes die. Muhammad Ali. I'm going to tell you something about Muhammad Ali. They're going to make him a demigod. I look at him as one that wasn't willing to defend his country. But I'm going to tell you something. If Muhammad Ali did not accept Jesus Christ in some Sunday school when he was 7, 8, or 9 years old, or in some vacation Bible school, or as a teenager, accept the Lord as Savior, he's in hell today. And it's not that I'm anti-black. I'm not anti-black. But what did he promote? Islam. Islam is sending millions to hell. You cannot get into heaven because you are a Muslim. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can't get into heaven because you're a Baptist. You can get into heaven because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Satan has counterfeit religions. He has counterfeit religions. And if Muhammad Ali could come back and say one sentence to you right now, if he could come back, he would not say, sting like a butterfly. Is that what he said? Float like a butterfly. Sting like a bee. Butterflies don't sting. That wouldn't be what he would say. You know what Muhammad Ali would say to you? He'd say, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and do it now. That's what he'd say. Now, we live here in Detroit. We're a hockey town. And we had Mr. Hockey. May I say this? If Gordie Howe at some point in time in his life didn't accept Jesus Christ as his Savior, as great a man as they say he is, or was, You know where Gordie Howe is today? He's in hell. There is only one way into heaven, and it's through the door of Jesus Christ. It's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor Paul, you've got four more iams to go. What are you going to do? You go and you got a minute. I guess I know what next Sunday sermon's going to be. Because I want you to know this, there's one way into heaven. All can be saved. But there is a broad way that's leading to hell. Many of them are religious. They had religion. Religion is man's attempt to get in good graces with God. Christ came down so that we can be in a good relationship with God. And if we do not do it the way that Jesus Christ has provided, then we will spend all eternity in hell's fire. See, that's why we're to be the light of the world. We're to reflect God's love. And if we're not reflecting His light, the world is where? In darkness. Many of you have lost family members. Many of you work with people who are as lost as a skunk. Are you being a light for the Lord? Are you being a testimony for Him? Shall we stand together? If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, let it be known there are those who are praying for you today that you will make that decision. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, are you directing others to the door? Are you reflecting the light of the Lord? In a moment, we're going to sing Jesus is calling, tenderly calling, 381. Have you answered the call? Or are you trying to get into heaven another way? Which the Bible tells us that we are then a thief and a robber. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless this invitation time. Protect us this day, Lord, from the evil one. May the Spirit move. Hearts be touched. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.